For 70 years, McBride & Son Homes has built neighborhoods in our town, like Clydesdale Manor, a community located on Coors Lane across from beautiful Clydesdale Park in South St. Louis County. It's close to all the shopping and entertainment options on Lindbergh and walking distance from Grant's Trail. Clydesdale Manor offers move-in pricing from the high 200s. There are three homes left at Clydesdale Manor, and that means you'll absolutely positively get McBride's best price on a new home that is move-in ready. Remember, there are only three home sites remaining at Clydesdale Manor, so visit the community soon. See the McBride & Son website for information.
This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now, back to Frank Cusimano from the McBride & Son Home Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
Welcome back to the Hollywood Casino Press Box on CBS Sports 920, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. We are live in the McBride & Son Home Studios. Randy Molman and Vic Faust sitting in for Frank Cusimano this morning. We're going to go right to the next interview, Vic. You and I haven't even had a chance to get to know each other.
Oh, we'll have a chance. Don't worry about it. This is good stuff, though. Heck, we go from Mizzou to the Cardinals, got a lot of fun stuff to talk about with the Cards.
Great stuff. Brian Walton joins us. He runs the Cardinal Nation blog, and he will give us some great insight on the minor league system here for the Cardinals, some of our prospects coming up. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Hey, Brian, quick question before we get into what we already have currently in the minors and what's on the way. What did you think of the Cardinals draft? What did you think of some of the players they took? And specifically, is it a risk taking Perez that early with his PED issues?
Well, certainly the fact that Delvin Perez fell from what a lot of folks thought was a top five kind of player to 23rd indicated that all the teams who looked at his failed test had some issues. But how much of it is really issues about him and how much of it was the potential PR impact of taking a first-round guy with a PED question is the unknown. I think Perez was a tremendous pick for the Cardinals. And for those who thought, and Harold Reynolds, of course, was the guy that started this furor when he immediately said it sent a bad message for the Cardinals taking Perez at 23, I disagree entirely because if you look at the amount of money that Perez lost in his signing bonus from being in the top five to being picked 23rd, that's over $2 million potentially that he left on the table. So I think he's paid his price for his bad decision. And we're talking about a kid who's 17 years old, lives in Puerto Rico, probably got some bad advice. And I think before we, provide full judgment on the guy, I think right now we give him the benefit of the doubt because he is one heck of an athlete. There's no doubt about that.
That's true. Brian Walton joining us. He runs the Cardinal Nation blog. Brian, real quick question to follow up on that. So this was Randy Flores' first time running the draft for the Cardinals. Did you see a lot of similarities in how they drafted in previous years, or did Randy Flores and his team differentiate themselves a little bit with the way they drafted this year?
Well, the one thing that I noticed was that, Delvin Perez and then Dylan Carlson, who was the next first rounder taken after him, were both high school players. But after that, the Cardinals didn't take another high school, with only one more high school player over the first 2 days of the draft. And I think they only took maybe seven high school players overall out of their 42. So they're looking more at college guys who can step in and compete. And if you look at the Cardinals system, that's a need, especially on the offensive side, because we've seen the Cardinals' pitching pipeline has been pretty good over time, but their offense in the system is below average.
If anybody knows what we have in the minor leagues right now, I'm saying we, the St. Louis Cardinals there, Brian, obviously the name that you hear, it's Reyes. It's Reyes this, Reyes that, and of course we're a city that's expecting a lot of pitching success, and when we're not getting it consistently, next man up. Give us a rundown, because in recent weeks, it seems like Reyes has also had some problems, controlling himself in regards to throwing strikes.
Yep.
Well, Alex Reyes, we know that he got caught with a second negative test for marijuana use, and so he had to sit out the first 40 games of the season. He joined AAA Memphis, has made three starts so far, is striking out batters at an incredible rate, so only 39 strikeouts in 21 innings, something like that. The challenge with Alex Reyes is command of his fastball. He can't control it necessarily all the time, and so he gets into high pitch counts. And so, we've seen Alex Reyes, and he's got a wipeout curveball I mean, his stuff is there, but he just needs to be more consistent, because if he got called up to St. Louis tomorrow, they would be lucky probably to get a five-inning start out of him. He needs to show that he can go deeper into games. And the good news is the Cardinals don't need him right now. Their starting rotation, you know, you cross your fingers, but their starting rotation has been healthy this year. So far, the starting five have all made, you know, all their starts. And as long as that happens, the Cardinals can afford to leave Reyes down in AAA and get more experience. But in terms of prospects in the Cardinals system, Alex Reyes is head and shoulders above everybody else. There's not even anybody close.
And so, Brian, that's a great setup for my next question. We talk about Alex Reyes. Who's next in terms of pitching that we could expect to see in the next couple of years, aside from Marco Gonzalez, who's hurt, aside from Tim Cooney? Who are some guys that Cardinal fans should be keeping an eye on in the minor leagues?
Well, there's a young man down in Springfield, Luke Weaver, and he's also only made about three starts. The reason he wasn't ready to start the season, he injured his wrist in spring training. But Luke Weaver was a top draft pick of the Cardinals 2 years ago out of Florida, and is a very, you know, very polished pitcher. Done extremely well in Double A. Think of him as sort of a mini Mike Leake. He sort of looks like him physically, a little slighter in build, blonde. Doesn't have overpowering stuff, but really knows how to pitch. So Luke Weaver, I think, is the next guy in the pitching pipeline after Alex Reyes. Behind them is a young man named Jack Flaherty, who the Cardinals drafted in the first round out of a Florida high school a couple years ago. He's still just 20 years old, but he's down in high A Palm Beach, and has thrown 20 consecutive scoreless innings with 26 strikeouts. So Jack Flaherty is another guy, again, the next level down, that is in the pipeline. And then another guy that's worth keeping an eye on, because it's a unique story, is a young man named Rowan Wick. If you remember, Wick was a guy that set a home run record in the New York Penn League a couple years ago as an outfielder, and the Cardinals decided to convert him to pitching, a la Jason Mott. And Rowan Wick down in Palm Beach has 37 strikeouts and 24 innings, an ERA right around one. Is another guy that can throw the ball in the upper 90s, and it's definitely worth keeping an eye on.
You know, Brian, you've been keeping in contact with this Cardinals minor league system for a few years, to say the
least.
Many
years, unfortunately.
Picking up on my joke there. You know, it wasn't that long ago that we were hearing about the Cardinals having the best minor league system. And, you know, a lot of guys have come out of there and produced for the Cardinals and gone on to other teams as well for that nature. Where do you see this system right now, as it is right now, maybe compared to 5 years ago?
They're in the middle of the pack. They're not at the top. And the reason why isn't the pitching, as I said. I mean, I mentioned that some of the top names, they're all pitchers. They don't have that quality of hitters in their system now, and it's a huge imbalance that they have to fix. And I mean, you look at their records of their four minor league clubs, the four full season clubs that have been playing, you know, two of the clubs are below 500, even though the pitching is okay, because the offenses are just, you know, at the bottom of their leagues. And the two teams that are doing well, Springfield AA and Peoria Class A, have a decent enough offense to go along with the good pitching so that they can compete.
Brian Walter joining us here this morning. So, again, Brian, I love this interview. You keep setting me up. Every question I have, you lead right into it. This is perfect.
Well, then you just got to get me on more often, see?
There you go. Hey, we talked about the pitching. You mentioned the pitching. The system is definitely has some pitchers on the way. So now let's turn our attention to the offense. What do we have that we should be keeping an eye on as Cardinal fans that could make an impact in the major leagues here 2, 3, 4 years down the road?
Well, the Cardinals drafted a couple of hitters fairly early in the draft last year. An outfielder named Harrison Bader out of the University of Florida, and then a third baseman, Paul DeYoung, from Illinois State. And both of those guys are at Double A already. So we're talking about, you know, two guys that a year ago at this time were still just coming off their college campus, and now they're competing at Double A. Harrison Bader, player of the month last month, is batting 300, is among the system leaders in home runs and RBI. Really looks like a sharp player, can play center field. He's just not ready to, you know, get in the Tommy Pham, Colton Wong, Hazel Baker, Britchick mix yet, but he's a year away from, I think, being there. Paul DeYoung, leading the system in runs batted in, also has double digits in home runs. The challenge with him is, as a young hitter, he's still striking out too much, still has a low batting average in the around 230, I think. But there are a couple of players at Double A that are definitely bear watching on the offensive side.
Hey, I wanted to ask one more question. Carson Kelly, tell us a little bit about him, the catcher, won a gold glove in the minor leagues, and a lot of people are saying he's he's what we're looking at as the future behind Yadier Molina as far as a catching prospect. Do you agree with that? And are there any other catchers that we should be watching for to succeed Yadier Molina 4 or 5 years down the road?
At this point, there's nobody who stepped forward at all. Kelly is the only guy. And he was a top draft pick as a third baseman, converted to catching a couple years ago. Still only 21 years old, just a young man. And this year what we're seeing from Carson Kelly at AA Springfield is that he's comfortable enough behind the plate. He's focusing a little more on offense. He's batting a very respectable 280-ish at AA. Hasn't shown enough much power yet, but he's still young. And if that part of his game he can get going, he could definitely become a major leaguer. Whether or not he's starting material, I think the jury is out. The Cardinals have a number of other catchers in the system, but really nobody has stepped forward to the level that Kelly has at this point. So he's the guy to definitely keep an eye on.
Hey, Brian, real quick, not to put a curse on any young man there, but at the same point in time, you've told us about some guys that you thought that had some good talent coming forward. Any diamond in the rough, so to speak, where obviously they've got some things to work out, but maybe has a gift, a skill, one specific talent that might get them to the show someday?
There's a kid at Class A Peoria named Eliezer Alvarez, and he's playing on a team with shortstop Edmundo Sosa and Magnaris Sierra, who was the player of the year in the system a few years ago. This Alvarez kid is outplaying both of them. He's a second baseman. He's fourth in the system in RBI. He's batting about .315, and he's tied for the lead in the entire system in stolen bases. So here's a guy who's outplaying some very highly known players, and it's still just young, I think 21 years old.
Wow. Brian, let everyone know where they can see your work and where they can follow you on social media.
Okay. My Twitter handle is B_Walton, W-A-L-T-O-N. My main site is thecardinalnation.com, which is part of scout.com, and there is nobody out there that covers the Cardinals minor league system at the depth and breadth that we do from all seven clubs in the U.S. And then I also have a blog, the Cardinal Nation blog, where I write more of my personal stuff.
That is great stuff. Great segment. Thank you for calling in, Brian. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Randy.
That's Brian Walton from the Cardinal Nation blog. Wow. We throw questions, he's got answers, ready to roll.
There's 10 or 11 names now that I had not heard before that we now know. Seriously, it's like we got our whole rundown right there with Brian.
Unbelievable. Hey, with nearly 50 communities in the St. Louis area and new homes in nearly every price range, McBride & Sons Homes has something for you. During the month of June, they're pulling out all the stops. This month, McBride & Son Homes is having a huge inventory home sale. You not only get a great deal, but a great deal on a new home. No more worrying about the furnace going out. No more wondering what gunk is stuck in that old carpet or behind the walls. These are new homes, and they come with the peace of mind of multiple warranties, the craftsmanship of a 70-year home builder, and most importantly, it is your home, not someone else's hand-me-down. There's a lot to choose from. In fact, there are over 120 ready-to-move-in inventory homes available right now. Each of these homes has all the right options, upgrades, and appointments McBride buyers have come to expect. No one can beat this deal on a new, ready-to-move-in home. See McBride & Son website for listing of communities, which include everything from townhomes priced from the low 100s to luxury homes priced at over a million. Or you can download the innovative McBride and the McBride Homes app. It's the McBride Homes app on your iPhone. June is truly the best opportunity to buy a new McBride home. McBride & Son Homes, they're everywhere you want to live. Vic, we've had a packed show. AJ Ofadale, we're already 45 minutes in. We've had two great interviews. AJ Ofadale joined us in the first segment, Brian Walton in the second segment, and we have to take another break.
Yeah, and we never even got to ask him to get into this Colton Wong Hawaiian shirt night.
That's true.
Where is Colton right now?
Oh, boy. Hollywood Casino Press Box on CBS Sports 920, 105.7 HD 2 FM, InsideSTL.com. We're in the McBride & Son home studios. Hey, contact us on Twitter, at Frank Cusimano. He'll be checking that, at Press Box. Or you could tweet at me and Vic. I am at R. Molman Voice. And Vic, remind everyone where your Twitter handle is.
At Victor J. Faust.
There you go. Press Box with Frank Cusimano is live right now, and you can listen to our podcast later if you want on InsideSTL.com or on iTunes. You can search the Press Box with Frank Cusimano. We're going to take another quick break, and then Vic and I will close out the first hour with some nonsense, right? little nonsense?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, why not? You're listening to the Press Box on CBS Sports 920, 105.7 HG2 FM and InsideSTL.com.